Welcome, Eagles, to another episode of Tradcat Night Radio. I am Eric Ajewski, founder and owner of Tradcat Night, your one-stop website for all of the day's latest church apostasy and end-time news. Now, Tradcat Night is featured all over the alternative media circuit, and I'm doing my best to keep you up to date on all the latest happenings from around the world as we head closer to the fruition of the Third Secret of Fatima. My good friends, make sure you subscribe to Tradcat Night right now on YouTube. Click that notification button so you can get all the latest videos sent directly to your email. Now, in an effort that our YouTube channel goes down, and I have one strike against me, and all of us should be seeing the rise in censorship against Truther and Christian channels, I'm providing alternative avenues that you can get to these talks, whether it be on SoundCloud.com. You could register there and listen to these talks. Find Tradcat Night there. The sister site, TradcatNight.org. You can also find these talks now on PewTube, pretty soon on DTube. Of course, we're on Veterans Today, Minds.com, BitChute now. So I'm trying to provide different alternatives to where these talks can be heard. Of course, you can find Tradcat Night material across any social media outlet, whether it be Twitter, Facebook, and Google+. And as many of you know, just yesterday I was banned yet again on Facebook for pointing out the sodomite agenda, so I've got to wait 30 days. I'm in Facebook prison. Our good buddy Zuckerberg apparently doesn't like some of the information we're putting out. Now, folks, if you would like to have a certain special guest on the radio program, email me your suggestions to apostleofmary@hotmail.com, and I'll do my best to get them on the program. Now, folks, today for this March 20th, 2018, with the approaching fifth nor'easter or fourth nor'easter about to happen in the Northeast, praying for all those in that area. Got some snow out in my area. We want to welcome in Jeff Croer, who has been so gracious to me over the past few years with helping me get out my material on his radio program, very popular down in the Louisiana area. And so Jeff is a political columnist, the author of America's Last Chance, and provides regular commentaries on the Jeff Croer YouTube channel. His website is jeffcroer.com or ringsidepolitics.com. And again, very popular show down in the Louisiana area. I'll get everything up in the description box again so you can get directly linked to his material. Jeff, thanks for taking some time out this first day of spring. And what's hot on your radar? Well, you know what? Before that, Jeff, since you're a first-time guest, why don't you tell us a little bit more about, you know, your background, where you're coming from, how you got involved in politics, and then maybe tell us a little bit more about the radio program.
Hey, thanks, Eric. It's a real pleasure to be with you, and it's good to be on your show, and we definitely want to have you back on my program. I got involved. I was a kid who grew up in a household that was political. My dad was someone who always used to rail against the liberal media. I remember he used to watch Walter Cronkite and yell and say, he's a liberal. And I started learning, you know, about the bias in the media, and I became politically active and was involved in the high school and college level, and came back to New Orleans and got married, was involved with the Young Republicans, and wound up deciding to run for office. A lot of crime in my area in New Orleans, and got disgusted by lack of action from the elected officials, so I threw my hat in the ring and wound up running against a guy who is from a political dynasty. His family had been in office for 60 years. His sister was a U.S. senator. He later went on to become lieutenant governor and mayor. His name is Mitch Landrieu. And gave him a good race, but he prevailed. But that really got me interested in politics. I became executive director, deputy chairman of the Louisiana Republican Party. And then I decided to branch into media, and in 1999 started a radio show in New Orleans, Ringside Politics. We added a TV version of that, and I do a stage show in New Orleans called Politics with a Punch. And then in recent years, have sort of focused more on national politics and written a book, as you mentioned, and started my YouTube channel, which I'm excited about, is growing. And the guy that I ran against initially is in the news nationally because he's trying to parlay the taking down of monuments in New Orleans into a presidential run for the Democratic nomination. So he's one of these hardcore leftist progressive mayors that we see in a lot of urban areas across the country, really in line with the far left agenda of the Democratic Party. So hopefully I can shed some light on what he's really all about in the days, weeks, and months ahead.
Absolutely. Now, to lay kind of a foundation for this talk, why don't you give your analysis, Jeff, on where we are at, if you will, the current state of the United States. And if you can, as best you can, maybe break this down for us economically, politically, socially, spiritually, as best you can, Jeff. You know, obviously there's a lot going on in the world today, but where do you think we're at?
Well, I'll start economically. I do think we are on the verge of better economic times. I think the tax cuts that were passed are going to be beneficial. I do think we're seeing a massive change in our economy as our retail outlets are having a hard time. People are moving to online buying. I see malls struggling all across the country. So that's going to be a traumatic shift, I think, in our economy in the years ahead. As far as politically, I think we've got a war against a president being launched by establishment members of both parties, the deep state bureaucracy, the media, globalists. I've never seen anything like it in my life. I've been following politics pretty much all my life. And this is unprecedented, this kind of attack against a duly elected president trying to stop his agenda from being implemented. And I think the special counsel is engaged in a fraudulent investigation. I think the whole thing is a witch hunt, as the president has said. It's all about, nothing. And they are bound and determined to bring him down. And if the Democrats win control of Congress, I foresee impeachment, and I foresee really the president being unable to get anything done in his final 2 years. So laying the groundwork for another hardcore progressive slash socialist being elected president in 2020, which I think will be the end of America. Mm. As far as spiritually, as a Catholic growing up, I was an altar boy, became very involved in the church, wound up starting my career really as a fundraiser for various Catholic nonprofits. I'm sad to see the direction of the church under Pope Francis. I think he is a hardcore socialist and seems to be delving into politics all the time, and disheartened by his comments about everything from the wall to capitalism to climate change. And I think he's now losing his luster with a lot of Catholics out there who I think are now very disillusioned with his leadership of the church.
Yeah, I would argue too as well, even some more of the liberal Catholics, if you will, if we could use that term, are starting to scratch their heads with Francis. I mean, he's come out, you know, over the past year, as I mentioned on your radio program, saying communists make the best Christians. He doesn't believe in a Catholic God. He won't even read what those have to point out concerning some of his latest heresies. He won't even read what the accusations are. And so it becomes... we're in interesting times, let's say that. Now, one area we didn't cover yet, and one of the reasons why I wanted to bring up the area of social, if you will, is what's going on with gun control, with gun grab. If I'm not mistaken, I think it was down in Florida they just passed a law. Correct me if I'm wrong. It's more down towards your area, where they can now make it plausible to take away some guns in certain instances. This seems like this could be a hot seat for what might appear to be a brewing revolution or civil war in this country. I mean, if they start coming for guns, as you know, you're down there in the South. I know the people in the South aren't going to play games down there. You know, where are we headed with that? My goodness. I mean, can we be so stupid to hand our guns over?
Well, listen, in New Orleans, where I'm from, the Hurricane Katrina hit, and the police went around confiscating guns from law-abiding residents here, using the pretext of an emergency and saying that they had to do it for to ensure safety. And there was a big lawsuit, and I think the NRA eventually prevailed. So we've had examples here of gun grabs by, quote, law enforcement. I think we're going to be monitoring our Louisiana legislative session closely to fight any sort of gun control measures that are going to be introduced. We fought a few years ago to expand the right of homeowners to protect their property in case of an intruder. And there's a case down here where a homeowner was awakened at 2 a.m. in the morning. A guy had jumped the fence, and he was in the man's yard, and it looked like he was going for a gun. The homeowner saw the man, shot him, and turns out he was unarmed, but he was in the man's yard and it threatened him, and the homeowner was arrested.
Jeez.
So that led to us really getting involved down here and protecting the rights of homeowners to defend their property and their family, their loved ones. And we expanded the rights there for homeowners to protect themselves. So yeah, this, what's going on in the schools, Eric, is scary, because these liberal activists are trying to use it as an excuse to grab guns and to destroy the NRA. And they're claiming that the NRA is somehow responsible for what happened in Parkland, Florida. If you noticed, there was a shooting at a Maryland high school today, where a school resource officer was armed, took action against a student with a gun, and was able to subdue that student, whether he was the one that shot him or not, or the student shot himself. His intervention saved the day and saved lives there in Maryland. And that should have happened in Parkland, Florida, because you had an armed security guard there. He just didn't go into the school. So I think we need more school safety in the, allowing teachers to be armed, making sure that they're protected areas, not taking away gun rights. I think that's the worst thing we could do.
Yeah, and I think William Cooper pointed this out in his book, Behold a Pale Horse, where he said that these false flags in relation to supposed gun attacks would take place. Again, I know in the conspiratorial world, some people would hold Sandy Hook as a hoax, others just as false flags. But the bottom line is the agenda is there, folks, to take away our guns in the event of some type of foreign takeover. Obviously, if we don't have guns, it's going to be very difficult to defend ourselves. Now, what do you make about Trump's policies in relation to mass immigration? Is border control, some type of massive wall, a long-term solution? And if not, I mean, what is? We obviously see what's going on in Europe right now. Jeff and I had Dr. Bill Warner on yesterday, and he travels to Europe a lot. Various countries are falling apart at the hinges, and they're pretty much on the verge of civil war in several countries. I mean, there's mass exodus of white people from Sweden and Britain and all kinds of countries. I'm not quite sure it'll happen to that degree in our country based upon that agenda, but what do you see in this area?
Well, I'm worried about it. I see what's happened to the country, and the country has changed as this immigration has been allowed to swarm in here. I noticed the number of people who voted in the election in 2016 was so much higher than we had in 2008 and 2012, and I think part of that is because of this massive influx of immigrants we've had. And I think Democrats know what they're doing, because 75% to 80% of Hispanic voters vote Democrats. So I think it's part of an effort to lock in a one-party rule. They want to turn these states blue. They want to turn Texas blue, turn Arizona, New Mexico, all these border states blue, and then say, hey, Republicans can't win. So the president was elected on a policy of strengthening the border, putting up a border wall, and they're preventing him from doing that. And it's, I think, part of the reason that they're attacking him so vigorously. They don't want a wall. They don't want to do anything to protect the American people and the businesses here. They want, unstoppable illegal immigration flooding into the country. So I don't know if anything is going to ever be accomplished with this Congress. I think Congress is playing sort of a rope-a-dope, trying to wait until the end of this term. The Democrats are thinking that they can take control. They're thinking they're going to win the midterms and then shut it down completely for the second half of the president's term. So I'm praying that we get a wall and that we get strict border security, but I have my doubts as to whether it's going to happen here.
Now, in terms of relations between the United States and Russia, what do you make of the recent move with Tillerson now gone and apparently this other neocon being put in place. And obviously you follow politics a little bit more closely than me, but I had V the Gorilla on the other day, and he said that this guy is an uber neocon, so supports the police state, and he's not very friendly with the Russians. It doesn't seem that perhaps United States-Russian relations will move forward in a positive fashion. I could be wrong. But, you know, it ties in, Jeff, what I've been warning on your show about this whole Fatima message. And, you know, Russia is really starting to pump its chest out, if you will. Putin was just reelected mm-hmm. yesterday. He came out in the past few weeks. He's warned the United States, essentially gave us, you know, our last warning. He says, we've got secret weapons you don't even know about, threatened Britain. And what's kind of interesting from a prophetic standpoint is Our Lady, an approved visionary, Blessed Aiello in Italy, warned that Russia, with her secret weapons, would battle America and overrun Europe. And I'm afraid we're getting pretty close to that time. I don't know how much longer we can stave that off. But my question for you is, outside of Russia, and feel free to speak on Russia a little bit more, what are some of our biggest threats geopolitically? You know, is it North Korea? Is it China? Or should we just be locked in on Russia?
No, I think the obsession with Russia is ridiculous. I mean, look in the past. We had liberals who always used to say detente. Work with the communists. I mean, they used to always rail against Reagan when he called him the evil empire, saying he was saber rattling. They always wanted negotiations with the communists and peace deals. And now that Putin is in charge and Trump is the president, the Democrats are the ones saying we have to have bad relations. I mean, we have to be at loggerheads. They're pretty much saying we have to go to war with them. I mean, they're the ones poisoning the relationship, as well as the establishment Republicans and the media. I think the president would like to have good relations with Putin. I mean, he called him to congratulate him for the election. They seem to get along personally. I think Putin thinks highly of President Trump. So I don't see there's any reason why we can't have peaceful relations and coexist. I think all of this Russia nonsense is maddening. I mean, it's all about a fiction. Russia didn't subvert the election. Russia didn't change the election in 2016. That's ludicrous. And there's been no evidence, Eric, after all these years, the special counsel and all this money, of any collusion. So it's just an effort to stop his agenda and to overturn the election result. As far as other threats, obviously, I think North Korea is a major problem. I was pleased to hear that there might be some sort of summit between the United States and North Korea with the president and Kim Jong-un. I think that would be beneficial for the world. I think that is certainly one of the top threats we face. And then, of course, the Middle East is always a powder keg. We always have worries about what's going on in the Middle East, Iraq, Syria, the activities of Iran. So, and a lot is happening in Saudi Arabia. If you follow that, yes. There's a big power struggle going on there. Mm. So it's never comfortable when you look around the world as to what's going on. But I think we can have good relations with Russia, and I don't understand why we wouldn't try to pursue that, and hopefully this new Secretary of State will pursue that. I don't know. I don't know what kind of Secretary of State he's going to be. Hopefully he'll be someone that can add to our relations, not just with Russia, but to many countries around the world.
Once again, I'm with Jeff Croer from Ringside Politics. We're talking a little geopolitics right now. What's the latest going on with China? I don't know if you saw this headline within the past 24 hours or so. China to ban citizens with bad social credit rating. And apparently, if you don't abide by their rules, you can't abide in their system, if you will. And from a Catholic standpoint, we know we've had popes before Vatican II warn about this one-world socialist republic. And it seems like the model of China will be the model of the New World Order. So I've had various guests on talking about the social credit system and blockchain and cryptocurrencies. You know, any comment in this area or, you know, specifically with China?
I've never been one that really has been complimentary of China. Many people compliment the leadership there for being communist, but being good with the economy. I think China has benefited from bad trade deals on our behalf. We've certainly enriched China massively over the past few decades. I think they're engaged in very corrupt trade practices. I also think it's a brutal communist regime that suppresses freedom. I'm not a fan of any of their real activity. I think they could certainly be much more, beneficial for world peace if they did something about North Korea. And I think the president complimented them recently, but overall, I think they haven't taken the kind of action they should have there. So I don't trust them at all, Eric. I'm very wary of them. I don't think we can ever forget it's a communist regime, and they are certainly at war with freedom. And ever since Tiananmen Square, where I think we had an opportunity there to maybe topple that regime, and we did nothing, and brutal suppression of those student protesters, and I don't think they've really changed their stripes since then.
Now, in relation to censorship, Jeff, I've been on your show quite often, but we really didn't get an opportunity to talk about this area. I was wondering, you know, with your program and just the material that you put out, if you've had to deal with censorship over the years. I know that I certainly have. I've already mentioned at the top of the broadcast how, Facebook has banned me again. On Twitter, I can't even post my own blogs. Now it seems like there's some reports in the past 24 hours that Facebook is now facing quite a bit of lawsuits here. And then also this morning, there was a report that a YouTuber who had some type of offensive joke or something was convicted and apparently in jail. I haven't delved into it too deeply yet, but we kind of see this emerging police state, kind of 1984 Orwellian fashion. You know, how concerned should we be in this country? Maybe not necessarily with Trump per se, but following. I agree with you. I think Trump's going to be, well, for me personally, I think Trump's going to be the fall guy, but what comes after him, I think is going to be something else. I think we really got to prepare for that next election. But in terms of censorship, what's going on in this area?
I've been an opponent of censorship of all my life. I mean, I think we've had censorship in many forms for years. The big media, I think, is incredibly liberal, and I think social media is really following in the footsteps of the major news media. And they have censored all kinds of conservative commentators, as you know, alternative commentators, independent commentators, libertarian commentators, anyone that is not really touting the big government, big liberal agenda, I think has got to be worried about their message being censored. I've been put in Facebook jail for posting a comment about, for posting one of my columns about gun control. And for some reason, they found that to be offensive, and I was jailed for a week on Facebook. And it's just infuriating that they're opposed to free speech, they're opposed to intellectual debate. You know, Eric, it also is going on. I've got two college kids. It's going on our college campuses. They don't agree with freedom, don't agree with debate, don't agree with free expression of ideas. They try to suppress constantly conservative thought, independent thought, libertarian thought. And it's just, I think it'll lead to a lot of people wondering, well, why are we spending $75,000 a year to send our child to one of these colleges and universities for them to be indoctrinated and not educated? And I think they're just harming themselves and lessening their future enrollment. But I think it's just, I mean, this kind of censorship is going on all over. I think we just have to fight back against it. And we've got to find our own means to get our messages out there. That's one of the ways, one of the reasons why I like talk radio is that so far in my 19 years doing it, I've had a good ability to get my message out there without too much censorship. And I've fought against this fairness doctrine nonsense, which would limit our ability to express our messages. And we've been able to defeat that at the congressional level. But I would assume that if a Democrat gets elected in 2020 and they get a Democrat Congress, that'll be one of the first things that they try to implement.
Yeah, it's been a while since we last talked. I'm actually going to be doing some live call-in radio shows myself, probably starting in a month or so. I found a website to host. Censorship free. So yeah, it should be very interesting, and hopefully we can get you on in the upcoming months. Now, definitely. Another area that we need to talk about is obviously with Christian persecution happening worldwide, the statistics show that it's worse than it's ever been, at least since statistics have been able to record these numbers. Our poor Christians over there in the Middle East and various parts of Africa are being beheaded. And again, the persecution is not so much here yet, although the laws seem to indicate we've got stories of coaches not being able to pray, you know, with their players, you know, being suspended. But then on the other hand, we seem to have a rise in sort of like an awakening, I guess. We've got two new movies. One, I guess, is out currently called I Can Only Imagine. Then we have that Paul movie coming out with Jim Caviezel. And Jim Caviezel was just at my alma mater a few weeks ago talking about this film. What I'm building up to, folks, is it seems we have kind of an ultimate clash coming between, you know, the light and the darkness, between Christ and Satan, just as the message of Fatima kind of relayed. What do you have to say about this, Jeff?
Yeah, I mean, you know, that interesting that you brought that up, because today on my radio show, I had on astrophysicists who explained, in his view, a lot of these UFO sightings, he believes, are demonic.
Yes.
He doesn't believe that these are aliens from other worlds coming here. He just thinks it's Satan. And I found that very interesting and compelling presentation that he made, because we've seen more and more of these sightings in recent weeks, Eric, where the videos have actually been released. And I talked to him about it. But anyway, as far as religious persecution in this country, I don't know if you saw about the hate crime investigation being launched, about the statue of the Virgin Mary being vandalized on Long Island.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And then I'm reading this morning about a 87-year-old priest in Stony Brook, a hospital, after he was beaten and robbed in Long Island as well. So very disturbing attacks on a priest that everyone said that they loved, 87-year-old man. But as far as what's going on worldwide, we've seen the attacks against Christians in the Middle East, where they're trying to completely decimate Christian populations. And I don't think we do enough to protect our Christians worldwide. I mean, I think we need to do more to protect those that are in the most vulnerable areas of the Middle East. And hopefully that can be something we can focus more on in the years ahead, because I think the threat is still there. And look at what's going on in Europe, where they're being overrun with Muslim immigrants, and attacks are increasing against Christian women, where we see rapes escalating massively. We see violence being directed at Christians, and Europe seems to be just sort of shrugging it off, Eric, like it's just part of their evolution. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what they're evolving into, but I certainly don't want to follow their lead.
Yeah, that's well said. And I've discussed this often on my radio show personally, and when I do media appearances, there's no doubt that they've been building up this propaganda for the whole aliens and UFOs, you know, the good aliens are here to save us, and this nonsense, and this per a Catholic analysis, if you will, can be found in the Message of La Salette, where Our Lady speaks about these demons of the air working false prodigies and signs in the sky in relation with the Antichrist, who, in my opinion, as you know, Jeff, I've spoken about him often. Maitreya, I believe he's going to show up onto the scene, perhaps even in the next few years. So look for some type of disclosure soon, not only from this country, but from the Vatican as well. My last question for you before I allow you to do some shameless self-promotion is this. What is the hot topic in Louisiana right now? Is there some area right now that, you know, when you get your call-ins, it's like, man, this topic keeps coming up and up? I mean, is it gun control, or is there another area that's kind of really talked about there in Louisiana?
Well, you know, gun control is a big issue. Also, we've had a legislative session down here where, you know, they're trying to voice higher taxes on us, and they're not scrubbing the budget, and our budget has grown. And we have the normal issues of crime and corruption and all the political races. But a big issue over the past few years that I've covered on my show sort of dovetails into what I first talked about with you, and that is Mayor Landrieu and his effort to take down Confederate monuments that had been up for over 100 years in the city of New Orleans. He created the most divisive issue in the city with this campaign, and it really divided New Orleans, distracted the city from other problems such as crime and streets and drainage. And he accomplished in getting them down, but the only beneficiary really was him and his political career and his attempt to become a Democrat national leader. New Orleans itself is still suffering from the same problems that he didn't solve. And now you've got all these sites that have been ruined because he tore down the monuments. and didn't put up anything in their place. And now you have radical groups that are trying to take down more. And you see this going on in other communities, not just in the South, but all over the country, where people are trying to tear down history, all in the name of like racial reconciliation. It's just ludicrous. And it's very divisive, damaging, and it's something that I'm fighting against because I don't think it's good for our communities. I don't think it's good for race relations at all. But that is a dangerous agenda, I think, of those on the left, like this mayor who is trying to boost his standing nationally.
Yeah, I've actually covered this area briefly over the past few years. The Confederate battle flag actually has Catholic implications. That X represents the cross of St. Andrew the Apostle, and it has a very interesting history behind it. I don't have time today to really delve into it, but it doesn't surprise me that the liberals are trying to label it as racist and extremist and all this other nonsense. So, again, probably a part of the piece of the puzzle of this coming clash, civil war. The New World Order obviously wants chaos on every level. They want North versus South, blacks versus whites, Republicans versus Democrats. They want all that, folks, because it'll make it all that more easier for this new savior to step onto the scene. As the Freemasons say, out of chaos will come order. Now, Jeff, in closing, what do you got in works? Let's do a little shameless self-promotion. Maybe talk about some upcoming guests on your radio show. Maybe if you want to talk a little bit about your book, America's Last Chance, and I'll close out the program.
Hey, thank you, Eric, and let me just thank you for the opportunity. It's been great to be with you. But I would love people to check out my website, which is just my name, Jeff Cruere, and that's Jeff and then C-R-O-U-E-R-E .com. And I have on there all my recent videos, my last one, which is about CNN and their Trump derangement syndrome, has done quite well as far as viewership. And I would love people to subscribe to the channel and also order a copy of my book, which you can get there as well, America's Last Chance. I wrote it, Eric, because I saw an election between a guy who I thought was an independent guy, not controlled by the establishment, versus a just creature of the establishment and Hillary Clinton, someone who would be incredibly dangerous. And we got Donald Trump elected, but getting his agenda through has been even more difficult. And the book outlines that struggle that has been going on between the establishment wing and the more conservative independent wing in the Republican Party. And I think people will enjoy it if they can check it out, and you can get it all at my website.
We appreciate it, Jeff. And there you have it, folks. Again, get to his website, ringsidepolitics.com. I appreciate all of those who have been supporting Tradcat Night over the years. Appreciate your prayers. If you can, in this information war, folks, please click that PayPal button and get behind me financially if you can. Appreciate all those who check into Tradcat Night daily. Again, the website is updated daily. It's tradcatnight.blogspot.com. Got another great special guest tomorrow. Again, we'll try to get Jeff back on in the upcoming months, and hopefully I'll get back on his program down in the good state of Louisiana. My good friends, until next time, keep your wings spread as an eagle in faith and hope. Keep your eyes on the rainbow. Let's not fear the storm, and until next time, stay safe and God bless.